Going to open the Bible now and read from Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35. If you're reading from the church Bibles, that's on page 1401. So please read with me. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart."
Thanks, Kyle. Well, please leave your Bibles open there. My name is Simon, if we haven't met before. And I think Chris is preaching next week in this series, but term one's going to be a bit different. There'll be a bit more changing between the preachers for term one, at least. Now, today we're continuing our four-week series on starting strong, laying a good foundation for 2023. And today we're covering the topic of forgiveness, which does sort of seem like the odd one out. We've covered the Bible, we've covered prayer. Next week we're thinking about serving. So why are we talking about forgiveness? Well, forgiveness is really a huge part of who God is. And as God's people, forgiveness should really be a huge part of who we are as well. And it's something that we need to think about because there are lots of broken relationships out in the world, but there are also lots of broken relationships in here, in the church, amongst God's people. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider the idea of forgiveness, please be with us. Father, the idea of forgiving someone who has hurt us does not come naturally to us. And so, Father, as we think about your forgiveness of us, please help us to be able to move towards forgiving others. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we know that there are broken relationships everywhere. We've just celebrated Christmas. Christmas is a great time of year, but it's also a reminder of the broken relationships in your immediate family, of the broken relationships in your extended family. Now, there are small broken relationships that we have, like my two daughters fighting over a hairbrush, and one saying sorry to the other, and the other saying, "I forgive you, just don't do it again." We kind of have those relationship breakdowns. We all kind of have them. There might be someone who says, "I'm going to do something," and they don't do it. It might be a husband or a wife. Someone might say something that hurts you. They may not intend to hurt you, but it's a silly off the cuff comment. It hurts you. Someone might freeload off you a bit. And after a while, maybe you're teenagers, after a while you're like, "Mate, I'm sick of this." It kind of slowly wears away at you. We all know that kind of shallow level of relationship breakdown. But some of us, I would say most of us, know much more than that. as we look at the world around us, we can see terrible things happening. Dramatic events that break relationships. Like that mother having her life taken from her on her front porch in Brisbane. And sadly, even in the church, there are broken relationships between God's people. Now, some of you will know this really well, others not so. But this church, when it originally began 25 years ago, it was a church plant to cover up a church split. Something that, for those involved, still brings up very painful memories. Friends, broken relationships are everywhere, even in God's people. But today, as we open up God's Word, the Bible, we're going to see that God is in the business of forgiveness. Forgiveness is at the heart of who God is. And if we enjoy God's forgiveness by believing in His Son, we should also be people who forgive. Well, please have your Bibles open there at Matthew 18. Now, our first point today is that God forgives us a massive debt. We're going to pick up the action with a question from the Apostle Peter. Pick it up for me from verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." Peter is wondering how many times to forgive his brother or sister. And in a way, Peter is trying to be the teacher's pet. Jewish law said you had to be prepared to forgive the one person or the same person up to three times. But here Peter comes in and says to Jesus, "How about seven times?" He thinks he's being super generous. And Jesus says to Peter, "Hey mate, I think you've missed the mark. It's not seven times, but 77 times. In fact, depending on your Bible translation, it could be 77 times, or it could be 70 times seven times. That's 490 for the mathematicians amongst us. There's a little debate about it. But if we get caught up in a debate, we've missed the point. Jesus is saying it's not about keeping a tally. It's not having, you know, like the four lines and the five, you know, the one through it for the five. It's not about doing that. If we're God's people, we're called to be marked by forgiveness. We are forgivers. That's who we're called to be. Now, to explain this to Peter and to others and to us, Jesus tells a parable, a story of what it's like to be in God's family. Well, let's pick up the story from verse 23. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him." Jesus is telling a parable, a story about what it's like to be in God's kingdom. And there's a king, and he wants to settle his accounts with his people. And as he begins this task, a man comes in owing 10,000 bags of gold. Now, in the Greek, it doesn't say gold, it says talents. And no one is really, you know, super sure on what a talent actually is worth. But this man, he owes somewhere around $10 billion. This servant owes a lot of money. But Jesus may not be going for an actual figure here. He might be just saying, imagine the biggest number that you can think of. The talent was the biggest unit of money they had back in the day, kind of like our $100 note. And 10,000 was the highest number that the Greek language had a specific word for. Jesus might be saying, imagine the biggest number you can think of. That's how much this servant owes the master. Let's see what happens next. Let's pick it up from verse 25. "Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt." we find out the servant can't pay the debt. And that shouldn't surprise us, right? Because we know, you know, his debt is the biggest number that we can think of. But in order to clear the debt, the man and his wife and his children, they're about to be sold as slaves. That's how debts were paid back in Jesus' day. Imagine the conversation that this guy has with his wife. You know, they've had dinner, they're doing the dishes, the kids are in bed, and the dad says to the mum, "Hey, by the way, we owe a bit of money. In fact, a lot of money. In fact, so much money that you and the kids and me, we're going to be sold as slaves." Now, I have a dark sense of humour, right? So I can kind of see the funny side of that, just the mother just kind of like just letting loose at the dad, like, "What have you done?" There's a funny side to that, right? But there's also a very serious side to that. It's actually really sad. Imagine you and your family being sold to some ruler. In fact, your family may not be sold to even the same ruler. You might be split up. That would be terrible. Well, the servant, he begs the master to be patient, to give him more time. Well, let's see what happens. Pick it up with me again from verse 26. "At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I'll pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go." The servant is on his knees begging. He's saying, "Be patient with me. I'll pay it back." But you know what? It's the biggest number that you can think of. So there's no way he's paying it back. But in a wonderful turn of events, the king actually cancels the debt. The man does not have to pay. The king will absorb the massive debt. And the servant is let go. As Jesus answers Peter's question about how many times we have to forgive someone, he tells a story about a person who has been forgiven. A person who's been forgiven an amount that he could never pay back. A massive debt has been cancelled. Now, I find it a little hard imagining being this guy. My debts aren't that big. But I do know that a couple of people here at church have been bankrupt before. A couple of people have undergone severe financial distress. I have a fee help debt that grows each year. I wish it wouldn't grow. I wish it would kind of go away. And every now and then they talk about how they might get that money back from you, like they might take a child or something to pay for it. But I'm hoping that's not the case. I do have a home loan, and for a long time the repayments have been quite good, quite very reasonable. Cheaper than rent, they say. But they're starting to increase. I mean, maybe I could imagine being like this guy if I became sick and I couldn't work anymore. And we couldn't pay off our home loan. Maybe the bank was going to kick us out of our home and we're going to live on the street. Now, hopefully, if that was to happen, at least one of you might say, "Hey, Simon, you can come and live in our backyard. You know, you got some swags, don't you? You can come and live in our backyard near the bins. It's probably where it'd be good for you to live. And so that would be nice for you to let us in to your backyard." Or one of you, if you're feeling really generous, one of you might say, "Hey, look, Simon, I'm paying the debt for you. I'm clearing the debt." And now this is all just, you know, make-believe, right? It's always, "I'm clearing the debt." And at that point, I would be like, "Sweet." And I'd also be like, "I actually understand the guy in the story a little bit. You know, like, he had a massive debt cancelled. He's free." I'd be like, you know, like, I can understand that guy. But friends, this story, it isn't ultimately about someone owing a large amount of money. See, the king in the story represents God. And all of us are meant to put ourselves into the story as the person owing God a lot. In fact, owing God so much that we can't pay him back. The pages of the Bible make it very clear that all of us, every single one of us, have rejected our Creator. And you can do that actively by kind of shaking your fist at him and kind of telling him to go away. Or you can do it passively by just turning your back on God and living however you want to live. The reality is, we've all broken our relationship with God. We all have a massive debt to pay, and the Bible tells us we can't pay that debt. It's a debt that God must pay. And so God does pay it by sending his one and only son, Jesus, into the world about 2,000 years ago to pay for our debt. Friends, we all have a debt before God that we can't pay, but if we get on our knees and beg for mercy and forgiveness, the Bible makes it abundantly clear that the massive debt we owe can be cancelled. And God does that because forgiveness is at the heart of who God is. And you can see that throughout the pages of the Bible. Friends, if you don't yet trust in Jesus, can I encourage you to think about what is on offer? The massive debt that you owe God, it can be cancelled. It can be cancelled the moment you come before God and beg for mercy and forgiveness. Well, keep thinking about that. Keep asking questions. It's a deal that's just too good to pass by. But if you have fallen on your knees and begged for mercy and forgiveness, if you know God's forgiveness, then don't forget that you aren't any better than anyone else. All of us have a massive debt before God. We can't pay it. Only Jesus can. Friends, God is in the business of forgiveness. He's forgiven us a massive debt that we owe him. And if we know that forgiveness, if we enjoy that forgiveness, then we are called to forgive others. Which brings us to our second point this morning, that we should forgive others. Let's pick up the story again. Let's have a look at the first half of verse 28. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. The first servant, he's had a massive debt cancelled, and now he heads out and comes across this guy. And this guy owes him 100 silver coins. But the Greek says 100 denarii. Now, a denarius is kind of like a day's wages for a labourer. And so maybe this second servant owes the first about $20,000. It's not nothing. There's a debt there. But in comparison to the first guy owing $10 billion, or the biggest number that you can think of, this person's debt is substantially less. In fact, this person could work off their debt in less than a third of the year. Well, let's see what happens. Pick up the story again with me from halfway through verse 28. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I'll pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Now, I think most of us, if we hadn't heard this story before, we would be expecting the servant who'd been forgiven the massive debt, would be thinking, he'll probably forgive the other guy. He'll probably say, "Don't worry about it, man. I have just been forgiven a massive debt. Your debt, it's small in comparison. Don't worry about it, man. It's wiped." But that's not what happens, is it? He starts choking the guy. You might better remember the picture. He starts choking the guy, demanding to be paid back. The other guy begs for patience. But the first guy's having nothing of it and has him put in prison until he can pay it back. It doesn't seem right, does it? It doesn't seem fair. And the other servants who are watching, they have nothing of this. They're like, "This is not right." And they report it to the king. Well, let's see what happens. Put it up with me again from verse 31. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. The master, the king, responds to the wicked servant. He brings him in and points out that his massive debt was cancelled. He says, "Why didn't you show mercy to the other guy? Why didn't you forgive his debt?" And the master, in his anger, has this guy put in prison to be tortured until he can pay the debt back. But remember, this debt is the biggest number that you can think of. So this guy, he's never paying back his debt. Well, we're reminded in verse 35 that this story isn't just some random story. This story is about us. Jesus says this: "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The implication from Jesus is that if we have been forgiven a great, massive debt by God, therefore we're called to forgive others. In fact, if we're not prepared to move towards forgiveness, it's a sign that we haven't understood our own forgiveness. It's a sign we haven't understood how massive our own debt is before God. It's a sign that we won't be in heaven. Friends, if we trust in Jesus, we have been forgiven a massive debt, and therefore we're called to forgive others. Now, many of you will know the story of Corrie ten Boom. She's a second from your left in the picture. She was a strong Christian lady from Holland who, with her family, probably saved the life of about 800 Jewish people in World War II. Her family were watchmakers, and her uncles and aunties lived next door. So they had this kind of this crazy two-house thing joined together. There were lots of places to hide. They had this special room called the hiding room that could fit six people. And there was a series of warning systems throughout the house. But eventually, Corey's family were taken into one of the concentration camps, and her father died. And later, in another concentration camp in Germany, Corey's sister died. Corey was mistakenly let out of camp and set out to help people to recover. And she taught forgiveness. One day, she was confronted with one of the German guards. He had been a guy who was particularly brutal to her sister. She didn't want to forgive this guy, but he kind of held his hands out. He was asking for forgiveness. And so she prayed to God, and with God's help, she was able to forgive this guy. Friends, we have been forgiven a massive debt by God, a debt that we could never pay. And so, as God forgives us, if we beg for mercy, we're called to forgive others. And sometimes that'll be relatively easy, but other times that'll be really hard because the hurt, it just runs so deep. So how do we move? How do we move towards forgiveness? Well, I heard the Anglican Archbishop of Sydney, who's a good bloke, his name's Kanishka, he said in an online seminar about forgiveness, "Don't rush in to saying that you'll never forgive someone. Real forgiveness for a particularly damaging offence, it might take years. Real forgiveness does not mean not reporting the person to the police if the damage is of that nature. Real forgiveness, it might be slow, but with the help of the Lord, we are called to move towards forgiveness." Psychologists say that forgiveness is a really important step for people to move forward from a dramatic event. It helps the person to be liberated from the trauma. Tim Keller tells a story about a girl in his book on forgiveness. It's a great book. You can get it at the back. It was really helpful in preparing this talk. The story is about a girl who doesn't want to forgive her overbearing father for embarrassing her in front of her friends. But Tim Keller graciously points out to her, if you never forgive your father, you'll be trapped. You won't be free to make your own decisions. You'll do stuff that you'll probably regret to make your father unhappy. You won't do stuff that could be really good for you because you don't want to make your father happy. If you don't forgive your father, you'll be trapped. And the girl can see the logic of what this guy is saying. And I think we can all see the logic of what's happening there. But if we believe in Jesus and have received forgiveness from God, Well, our forgiveness from God is to be our primary reason why we forgive others. But what if the offending person does not repent? What if they never say sorry? Now, Christians think differently about this. So if you've kind of zoned out, zone back in for a moment, and this next little bit is going to hurt your head a little bit. So just bear with me for a couple of minutes. Some Christians might say that we need to be prepared to forgive in our hearts. So if someone hurts you, you need to be prepared to forgive in your heart. You don't actually have to forgive that person until they apologise. Other Christians say there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. So we're called to forgive people, but we're not restored to them. The relationship is not reconciled until they actually say sorry. Now, that's the stance of the Anglican Archbishop of Sydney. Now, I'm not becoming an Anglican or something like that. I'm just saying he's a good dude. He's worth thinking about what he has to say. It's also the stance that Tim Keller takes in his book. He uses different words to describe it. He talks about two types of forgiveness. He talks about internal forgiveness. And he gets that from Mark 11, verse 25. It says this, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Now, don't worry about the standing thing. Standing is how people prayed back in Jesus' day. But Jesus is saying, if as you pray, you're holding something against someone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you also. Now, our forgiveness is not dependent on us forgiving others. But forgiving others is really a sign. It's a sign of whether or not we've understood what God has done for us. So we're called to forgive without the other person saying sorry or repenting. And Tim Keller would call that inward forgiveness. But he also talks about outward forgiveness or external forgiveness. And he gets that from Luke 17, verses 3 to 4. It says this, "So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." Now, in this situation, if someone sins against you, you are to rebuke them. You are to confront the person and say, "Hey, look, what you did, it hurt me." And if they repent, you're called to forgive. And Tim Keller says, the point of forgiving someone seven times in one day, mentioned in verse 4, is to communicate that someone's repentance doesn't need to be a long, drawn-out affair. So some Christians say you need to be prepared to forgive in your hearts. Others say you need to forgive, but reconciliation only happens when the other person repents and says sorry. Now, I have some more thinking to do in this space, but I think I'm with the latter. I think we're called to forgive, but reconciliation only happens when the other person repents and says sorry. But I do also think there is very little difference between being prepared to forgive someone in your heart and actually forgiving someone in your heart. But talk to me more if you've got questions about that. Friends, today we've thought a lot about forgiveness, and it's hard. It's hard because sometimes the hurt, it goes really, really deep. And you might have lots and lots more questions about how all that works. Please speak to me or Chris or someone you trust after the service if you have more questions. But is there someone that you need to forgive in 2023? Is there someone that you need to apologise to in 2023 to bring about reconciliation? If we have received forgiveness from God for our massive debt, a debt we could never pay, then we are called to forgive others. But friends, as God's people, our forgiveness, it will never be perfect. And so we're going to need to ask God to forgive us for our imperfect forgiveness. But the great news is, in the Lord Jesus, we can have that forgiveness. Well, let's pray, because this is heavy and this is hard. Let's pray for God's help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you speak to us in your word. Father, your word makes it really clear that we have been forgiven a massive debt if we trust in your Son. Father, your word also encourages us to forgive. Father, please help us to be people who forgive others. Father, some people's hurts will go very deep and they will hurt a lot. Father, please be with those brothers and sisters. Please help them to slowly move towards forgiveness. Father, help them to find a trusted friend they can share with. Father, please help us. Help us to grasp how much we've been forgiven so that we can forgive others. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we're going to respond to God's word by singing a song.